Good evening. This is Stephen Otero speaking, and you're listening to Mondo Eros live on bbsradio.com. And Happy New Year, everybody. I just want to wish everyone who's listening right now a very Happy New Year. I hope you have a great 2010 coming up. And first of all, I would like to say Happy New Year. And a great deal of thanks to both Don and Seth here at bbsradio.com. You've made this an incredible year. It was exactly 1 year ago, New Year's Eve, that I did my very first appearance with Veronica Monet on her show. And it's been an incredible year, and I hope that 2010 is an even better year to come. And so... We are on Skype tonight, so that's probably why I sound so much better. We're going to ring out the old and ring in the new, and I can't think of a better person to be my guest tonight. And tonight, from an undisclosed location, we have, once again, I hope you're all sitting down. I hope you all have a nice adult beverage with you. So strap yourselves down, kiddies, because tonight, from an undisclosed location, we have author, filmmaker, photographer, master energy tracker. Yes, that wild tantra man, Lawrence Lanoff, is with us again tonight. Happy New Year, Lawrence.
Thank you, Steve. Happy New Year to you, too. Really excited.
Yes. So we're going to ring in. We're going to ring out the old, ring in the new, and we're going to maybe do a little looking at. Let's see what's upcoming, especially with your projects, but also energy wise. So we can get some ideas of what's going on.
That sounds great. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, you know, I mean, it's a really, I'm excited. I'll tell you what probably the most important thing that's going on is, and that is the ritual of the circle. You know,
yes.
The life is a circle to the extent that we, round and round we go. And that's the beautiful thing about it, right? I mean, it's like, here we are again. It's the new year again. And it was just Thanksgiving, and it was just Christmas. And, these circles come, and they're beautiful circles because they are demarcations that give us a chance to look at, you know, what has been in the past, what is current, and what we would like to do in the future. And, of course, the paradox of all of that is you do all of that in the present, but that's a whole other discussion on time, which we can have some other time. So, but that's really the fun of the rituals, you know, of, like, these very, you know, very important rituals of the demarcation of time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was just amazing to me how, looking back, how quickly this year went by.
Yeah, I mean, it's really unbelievable. My my grandpa, who was 94 when he died, and he said, like, when he was 93, he said to me, you know, Lawrence, I'd give anything to be 83 again. You know, it just flies. And, of course, part of that is, you know, is our neurobiology. I mean, part of that is purely because the more experience we have, the less, quote-unquote, new experiences there are. There's just more of a knowledge database, more symbols in your head, and so time just goes faster and faster when all of your neurology is coming online when you're younger. Oh, my goodness, boy, it just seems like things take forever.
Yes. That always seemed, you know, especially when we were younger, at least for me anyway, it just seemed like it just took forever. And now things are just flying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, part of that is just everybody's, you know, the human neurology and the human neurobiology is such that, you know, the brain uses algorithms to understand reality. And the larger your database of algorithms are, the more you, I guess it's weird, it's like the less quote-unquote new experiences you have. And it's these, like, new experiences coming online that really create a, you know, they create this kind of expansion of time. Have you ever had this experience where you're either walking or driving somewhere, and it's the first time you've been there, and you're not sure where you are, and you're trying to figure it out, and, you know, it seems like it takes, let's say, 10 minutes, but when you leave, it's actually like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Right? You have that experience. That's what I'm talking about. That's like kind of the new, it's like this new experience, and everything is on alert. So time, you know, the perception of time or the perception of distance, the perception of everything sort of slows down. You start making finer and finer and finer and finer slices of time. Your brain does that. It samples, let's say it increases the sample rate, so time has the feeling of slowing down. It's the same thing like when people have an accident and you say, well, what happened? It was like, you know, you hear this all the time. They go, like, it was like time slowed down or even stopped, and I was able to perceive all this stuff, and then it speeds back up. Well, your brain is actually taking just faster and faster snapshots. So it's kind of cool. So, like, the older you get, the more of these, the less snapshots it has to take of any given moment, because you just have a greater database of understanding, and so it's really like a little sampler of reality. So you're sampling less reality, so time just goes faster and faster and faster and faster. It's crazy, but I mean, in one way, I kind of love it. You know, there's something about really relaxing into that sense of going downhill on a, you know, three-diamond ski slope.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. You know, it's just that we forget, but we have to always keep in mind. That's why I love listening and watching the Robert Anton Wilson videos. How much of what we're experiencing is just our own perception.
Arguably, you could say that you're experiencing all of your own perception.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of a more intensive discussion, but this is really actually quite appropriate for passing through this ritual of the new year, because it's like a really good time to, you know, to scrutinize how you are perceiving your life.
Yeah.
You know, the actual perception of life. It's kind of a cool, thing. I feel like one of the good things about certain kinds of rituals like that, like the passage of time, like, you know, the new year, they're valuable, and there's a reason why every culture demarcates time, is because, you know, life is, there is this sense of the circle of life, you know, round and round we go. And that's, it's, you know, sounds a little corny, but it's really true. And every time you go around, you have a chance to observe it or perceive it in a new and different way.
Yeah, I think it's important to look at these rituals. I think particularly, I'm looking more and more, I was researching the solstice and looking at it from the Wiccan pagan perspective of, you know, of keeping the circle and just seeing it, you know, from that perspective, that it is important to be aware of it. It's just as long as you don't get hooked into anything.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah. The I feel like probably the most important insight that we can have is recognizing that all of these systems, any system, all systems are symbolic.
Yes.
And so, you know, the question is, can you extract the juice of the symbol without getting caught in the symbol?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Can you extract the best of what it has to offer you, the lesson, the teaching, without being becoming entranced to the teacher or to the dogma?
Exactly. You got it. I couldn't say it any better. That's exactly right. And what's the best we can
extract from the teachings of this, whoever this being was, without getting hooked into that dogma?
Right. Yeah, exactly right. You know, sometimes it's funny when I'm doing private work with people or when I'm leading a workshop, one of the things that I have people do is we will, you know, part of the quote-unquote energy tracking portion of what I do is I teach people how to listen in a different way and feel in a different way. And so one of the best teachers I have is I'll have people tune into, as a group, I'll have us, you know, I'll find a tree. And I'll have people, once they've developed the skill a little bit, I'll say, okay, tune into the energy of the tree. Track the energy of the tree. How is the tree handling life differently from you? So that's, you know, it's easy to take a tree because it isn't talking back at you and it isn't saying, believe in me or else. And it isn't saying, you know, do it my way or burn in hell. It's just being a tree. And so you can sort of extract and suck the juice, the energetic juice, the teaching of that tree. And it's super profound. And like in my more advanced trainings, I take people into various situations and have them learn from things like mountains and trees and, you know, countries and, you know, like, it's a very entertaining thing because you can experience the pure teaching without needing to believe in anything.
Right.
And that's really an incredibly freeing thing.
I think that's awesome what you're saying right now, and I think it's so important, the ability to learn and to be with information without being hostage to it, without having to basically sell yourself to it.
Right, sell yourself or defend it, which is even worse. I mean, it's defending of your beliefs that really cause you and other people the most problems because, you know, I heard the etymology, I don't know if this is true, but I had heard a long time ago, I haven't verified this, but I heard that the etymology of believe a long time ago was be the lie.
Yeah.
And, you know, so to believe something is to become the lie, you know, to like take this symbolic thing and quote unquote believe it, be the lie so completely that you in fact take it as reality, and then you have to fight and argue with other people about the veracity or the reality of that symbol, which is really kind of crazy.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's the height of insanity. I mean, look how many people every day are fighting, killing, and dying to perpetuate their beliefs.
Exactly. That's, you know, it's exactly right. I mean, we see it all over the place. And, you know, it's kind of, I'm sad that I never got a chance to meet Joseph Campbell in person because one of the things that he said that always struck me, he said, you know, he really felt that we no longer had symbols and myths that were really operating in our culture, that somehow we had lost that. And I really think that was like, it was such a misunderstanding of his own work. And I've always wanted to like sit down and say, you know, Joe, do you really, like, let's look at this. You just had somebody who tried to blow himself up on a plane.
Yeah.
That is somebody who deeply believes in a symbol and a myth. We have a war going on, which is basically a, you know, war. I mean, there are tens of wars going on the planet right now. And they're all mythologically based or border, you know, land based or, you know, power based. But they're at their root, they have an ideology or a symbolism or a mythology that is, you know, being enacted upon.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like, you know, part of our work is to continue to extract ourselves out of this, you know, this kind of symbolic delusion.
Yeah, I think that the more that we can wake up to this, the more that we can see it for what it is and not get trapped, not get stuck, not be serving these symbols, these myths. You can still learn, you can still have something that you can draw upon, but you are not the servant.
Exactly right. You know, and I really feel like that's a good definition of freedom. It's like freedom is the ability to play with and utilize any symbol you want without taking it as ultimate reality.
Right. Well, I think that was the basic idea of what the ancient Gnostics were trying to teach us. You know, to look behind the symbols, look behind the curtain, see, know who the man behind the curtain really was, and not be trapped by it.
Right. Right. You know, it's an interesting thing. It's definitely an interesting, rather, you know, it's great to be having this discussion at this time of year, because it's really, it's very fruitful work to look at the myths and stories that are serving you and really saying, you know, is this working for me? That is probably my number one question.
Yes.
You know, how's it working for you? I don't really, you know, to me, if you want to believe in whatever, I mean, anything. Let's say, you know, because we have been talking about, you know, the big drama of 2012. And so, you know, if that's working for you to believe in that and be afraid of the end of the earth, then great. If it's not, it's super easy to deconstruct that symbol. And I think that's the thing. If the symbol is working for you, if it's giving you juice, if it's giving you power, if it's giving you a sense of well-being, use it. If it's not, drop it like a hot potato and
absolutely,
get on with your life.
Well, you know, you have several posts that you have been putting up at DotsonandRoss.com. And I think one of the best ones you had was orgasms are good, sperm is cheap.
Yep. That definitely stirred the pot a little bit.
I think that's a big one. I think that's one that causes a lot of people, a lot of male people, let's put it that way, a lot of problems and a lot of unnecessary trauma, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's, you know, it's sad because there's really no reason for us to be in such pain about all of this, you know, silly kind of stuff that, I mean, you know, there's no mythology out there that somebody didn't make up at some point. So if you are, let's say, you know, whatever you're believing in, just because you believe what you were told about that belief doesn't mean that that's the origin of that belief or how it was created or why it was created. And so you're, you know, learning more and more how to just kind of be clear about stuff and say, well, why, you know, what, where did this idea of, you know, sperm is this, you know, incredible serum and, you know, you've got to conserve it and it's your life force and it's this and it's that. I mean, my goodness, it's like, it's like if you listen to the intensity level that these guys protect their sperm, it's like, what on earth are you, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And, you know, it causes lots of pain and suffering for people because really, you know, testosterone and specifically having a penis, you know, you want to come. You want to ejaculate. You need to ejaculate. And so it's so funny that there's like this incredible mythology, which is no different than born-again Christianity. It's this born-again Christianity around sexuality, which is all these rules and laws about orgasm and orgasm control. And, you know, that's why I'd love the role of playing the demythologist, because it's really fun to deconstruct these stories and just kind of say, really? Like, really? Like, how do you know?
Right.
Well, this is what I was told. Well, how did they know? And so much of the mythologies that we believe in are nothing more than the scientific understanding of the time, anywhere from hundreds to thousands to tens of thousands of years ago. And yet those ideas, you know, I've been using the word the memes, a meme, M-E-M-E. The meme gets passed along, which is basically some idea that is passed along that just takes root like a virus, and it just spreads throughout the culture. And so many of these things that we believe in are basically just memes that somebody came up with. And they're cool and they're interesting, but if you take them as reality, you are lost in the vast wasteland. That's the problem. You're just lost. You're just out. And the more bizarre your memes are, the more bizarre your beliefs and myths are, the more bizarre the world is that you live in. You know, that's why I really am into, like, really simplifying all that stuff. Because I don't personally want to live in a world where anything can happen. Because A, it doesn't, and B, if it did, that would kind of suck.
Yeah.
You know, and there is a meme that's out there that's sort of like, you know, if you can conceive it and you can believe it, you can achieve it. And that is just bullshit. And yet, there's like, you know, pretty much every religion has some version of that, and certainly The Secret is filled with that. And, you know, it's this idea, oh, don't say that, bad things will happen, which is all harkens back to the invisible man monitoring your genitals.
Yes.
It's like, no, I don't buy this.
Yeah, as long as you are in the, as long as your mind has been infected by the meme, you will feel physical, psychological, psychosomatic things. As long
exactly.
as you are entranced and you are enslaved by the meme, yes, you will feel these things. So we are not discounting what people will feel.
No, in fact, I will guarantee you, if you believe something strong enough, you will have strong feelings about it. You know, I preface when I'm working with people, like when I'm really helping somebody deprogram their mind out of cultish thinking, or, you know, because everybody, I mean, you know, we all get stuck in cults. We don't know that they're cults, but they are. And we all get stuck in them, and I'm cool with it. It's not, like, I don't really, you know, whatever people do, you know, if you're happy, fine. But when people do need to extract themselves, and people do, then, you know, I'm that guy. I'm not the guy you come to and say, hey, you know, Lawrence, tell me why you're, you know, would you tell me why I'm so right about XYZ belief? Why won't you agree with me that I'm right about this? You know, I'm not that guy. There are people out there who you can call. I'm just not one of them. That's why I'm hunkered down in an undisclosed location. Because that's where I do my, deep, deep work of demythologizing, you know, tearing apart my own beliefs about beliefs and my own understanding so that, you know, I can be as psychologically free as possible, which just makes me better teacher and, you know, and just in general a happier person because, you know, so many of these memes do nothing but cause us pain and suffering. They're all versions of, you know, we went over the buckets on the last show, but they're all versions of bucket two, which is basically, you know, good and evil thinking. This is, you know, it's bipolar thinking. It's yes or no. You know, it's either this or it's that. You're either on my side or you're against me. You either believe this or you're evil. And all of that, including orgasms and orgasm control, falls under bucket two. You know, do it this way or else you'll die. You know, we really need to extract ourselves out of bucket two thinking.
Yes.
You know, the world is not just black and white, and yet we walk around as if it is, and it isn't.
Yeah, I think that's the most, I think it's probably one of the most important things that that you do. And I, you know, I'm very, that's why I'm very happy to know you and to keep reading what you're putting out there, because I think it's just so important. I think particularly within the next 2 years, because this I'm going to say it, because we're on the adult channel, and I can say what I want to say. We got to do something about this fucking meme, this 2012, so that, you know, we can all be free of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, if you're really having problems with it, if you're really struggling with it, I mean, I think you can, if you can hear me on this, you know, it's sometimes it's hard to hear, but if you can just kind of take a broad stroke and say, you know, 2012, first of all, the calendar itself is an arbitrary distinction.
Yeah.
Human made. Okay?
Yes.
The universe is not sitting around with a calendar going, well, the earth is in rotation, and right? You understand that. Right? And so that's really the key. If you understand that, you sort of, if you would for a moment, Stephen, just, you know, mentally, in thought, let's just do a thought experiment together, and we can put 2012 to bed. You know, zoom out to the edge of the universe, to the edge of the galaxy. Let's just zoom out to the edge of the galaxy. So we're in the Milky Way galaxy, and you're kind of on the edge of it, and you're looking into a field of stars that are equal or brighter than our own star, which is the sun. But you can't even, you know, if you get not that far away from our own solar system, you can't even see the Earth. And if you can step back in the galaxy, I mean, the amazing thing about science and some of the things that the discoveries, the incredible discoveries, is in the darkest, 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 darkest emptiness of space, when they've taken the most recent pictures of the solar system from the Hubble, or there's a new telescope that just was sent into orbit recently. I don't think we've gotten pictures back yet, but we will. You know, when they pointed the revised Hubble to the darkest corner of the universe, it was filled with stars.
Yeah.
So we're walking around on planet Earth thinking that we're important. And that is the biggest meme and biggest mistake we make as humans. It's just incorrect. We are thinking the Earth is the center of the universe. It's not.
Right.
So you have to understand that a calendar was invented by people, by Earth people, by us. It wasn't handed down to you. It wasn't like we have this idea that there's this, you know, the bearded man And he said, he, of course, he's a he. He sends down and, you know, he says, here, this is a calendar. Well, no, I mean, every freaking culture of every people had different calendars. Right? So the Chinese New Year is at a different time of the year. They're all doing the same thing, which is marking agricultural events. But how long they have been marking agricultural events varies depending on when the culture started as a culture marking and keeping note and passing that knowledge on generation after generation. And so that's why our calendar, you know, the Christian calendar is we're at 2010. But, you know, the Judeo calendar is in the 5000s, the Chinese calendar, I forgot how far that is. But every, you know, quote-unquote religion or culture or ideology has its own system of keeping record of days. And the Mayans have their record of days. And it's like, they're just arbitrary. The world does not care about what you think about 2012. I'm sorry, we're not that important. That's why I can unequivocally say, forget it. You can live your life today. If you spend one more ounce of energy thinking about 2012, you have wasted the precious life that you have left. We're not that important. There's no calendar monitor sitting there saying, oh, no, I'm going to monitor, and when the calendar hits, the Christian calendar specifically hits 2012, then I'm going to blow up the world. Come on. There's a pyrotechnics monitor? Really?
Yeah, let me just say that I do not believe in that. I'm not suffering from that. I'm just amazed at it, but it's has no effect on me whatsoever. I'm looking forward to January 1st, 2013.
Of course. Well, I mean, you know, and I can guarantee you, we will do it. If you want to, we can even pre-schedule a show for that day. Because I guarantee you, we will run that show. I mean, it's so, you know, that's the case when I hear people like that talking about this kind of stuff. I say to them, you know, you just need to contemplate your insignificance in the universe. And if you can really grasp that in a good way, it's very liberating to realize you're so insignificant. You know, I speak for myself. It's very liberating for me to realize that I'm so insignificant. It's beautiful because you realize, like, wow, I'm not that important. And all of these freedoms come as you start to realize that. You know, as you start to realize there's the only thing sort of monitoring you is yourself.
Yes.
But we digress.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's another great post you did. We like sex, and that's okay.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I just feel like as a culture, you know, as a culture, if we could just come to the place where we say we like sex and we're okay with that, so much of this sort of mysticizing of sexuality and spiritualizing of sexuality and putting like this tremendous and moral importance, it's like all of this is sort of ways for us to try to modify or feel good about our sexual impulses. Oh, they're not dirty, nasty, you know, jacking off kinds of impulses. No, we don't do that. We circulate the energy and we cultivate the energy and we don't do those dirty things. It's like, it's the same crap. So why can't we just say, you know what? We like sex, we're okay with that. Like, what's the harm? Without sex, we have no humans. This is part of who and what we are.
So are you laughing at this whole Tiger Woods thing?
Oh, my God. I just, you know, the Tiger Woods thing is just, I just feel badly for him.
Yeah.
I mean, because he just slipped down you know, he took all of this incredible power and energy that he has, and instead of just dealing with the reality and being very upfront about it, he was trying to be, you know, covert. And, you know, we don't really know what the facts are. We don't know what his relationship, you know, what the reality was. You don't know what his pre-existing agreements were. But, you know, because he's a sports figure and this, you know, this person that's a role model, it's like as if role models practice immaculate conception. I mean, like, what the hell? You know, we walk around with these. There is a meme. Immaculate conception is a meme. It is a mental disease to think that anybody was ever created via any way other than sex. You know, we all have been born the same way, but the meme says, no, it's a moralizing of sex. And so a good person doesn't openly have sex. A good person doesn't openly have sexual desire. You know, so now you have all these people withdrawing support. I mean, it's sad. It's sad. And, of course, all that tells me is just how sexually repressed we continue to be in our own lives. You know, and I feel sad about that, Stephen. I really do. I mean, being able to freely and openly talk and express yourself sexually is very much part of being happy.
Yeah, I think this whole thing about the role model, you know, I keep going back to a commercial. I don't know, I forget now how many years ago it was, but it was Charles Barkley. I think the greatest thing he ever did is when he looked into the camera and he said, "I ain't no role model. You know, I'm here to call instruction on the basketball court. That's what I signed the contract for. I'm here to bring chaos. I'm not here to be a role model."
Exactly.
You know, and that's...
I agree. That should be my role. That should be my motto.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to create chaos, too. Not chaos, exactly, but to really challenge your beliefs.
Yes.
You know?
From an undisclosed
location. I think I'm not aware of that quote, but I totally understand.
Yeah, it was an old Nike commercial that he made, I think he was speaking from his own truth, where he says, "I am not a role model. You know, I didn't sign a contract for that." And I think we actually do a disservice to people, especially to youth, when we put up these role models, these idols, if you want to call it that, to use an old term. We're not helping them out any. We should, you know, we should appreciate what these people do, what their physical prowess and their abilities, but that's it.
Exactly. I mean, you are doing a disservice to somebody when you're saying that your role model is an asexual being. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you cut off the sexuality of any human being and you say, "Well, this is a good person." It's just crazy. I mean, it's I don't know how to describe it, but it's like, you know, you're sort of like taking a half a person. When, you know, Stephen, when I was deconstructing all this stuff around sexuality, one of the things that struck me is I went and listened to some of the quote-unquote greatest spiritual leaders of our time. And I admit, I was a bit like a sea anemone, in that I looked really sweet and cute, but my bite was deadly, and I was just waiting for the fish to swim by so I could bite them and eat them and spit them out. But I was trying to deconstruct my own reality at the time, right? So I went and I'll mention no names, but I would go and I would sit and I would listen. But I would listen as an energy tracker. I would listen from my body. And I would see, you know, okay, here's this person talking about the heart and love and peace and beauty and, you know, and the higher frequencies and the higher chakras and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, that's all sweet, but where is the sex and the sexuality? Because I don't know about you, super incredible, awesome, enlightened spiritual teacher, but human beings are having sex. And so to have any kind of belief, religion, understanding about life without including sex and say, oh, be happy, but don't have sex. Be happy, but don't have sexual thoughts. Be happy, be pure. Like, this is the ultimate disservice we do to life. And the, it's 2010, and we are still dealing with STDs at all, sexually transmitted diseases at all, is insane. But the reason we are still dealing with them is because all STDs have been moralized, and so people are moralizing sexually transmitted diseases as that's proof that sex is bad, as opposed to realizing that any smart, opportunistic parasite would use sexuality as an entry point because sex happens and everybody's doing it. And that's really the key, is like, we need to break out of the dark ages and get into the reality of life. So when a teacher or a role model or, you know, a spiritual teacher, whatever, is saying blah, 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 the heart chakras, the higher chakras, I say bullshit. And you do not have happy people around you because they're all miserable. And everybody wants to have sex or talk about sex or think about sex or do something with sex. But there are no spiritual mythologies, or there are very limited spiritual mythologies that make room for sex.
Yes. Even Tantra.
Even Tantra. Well, Tantra, I mean, to be honest, for me, Tantra is born-again Christianity with sex. There are so many rules and laws in Tantra. It's the most ridiculous thing in the world, and I know very few, I don't know any of the Tantra people who are like, yeah, I'm so happy. We carry on, you know, relationships and normalization and stuff. It gets very bizarre because it's just rules and laws. This is good sex. This is bad sex. This is this thing. This is that thing. Do these rituals, and you know, it's like, oh my God, it boggles my mind sometimes.
Right, because you're the person who they come to. You're the one who they come to the tantric people. You're the one they come to get free.
Right. I mean, ideally, you know, I don't think that, quite frankly, in the tantric community, I don't think people realize yet what my role is. I'm sort of an accepted, you know, I'm sort of like the guy on the edge of the village, you know, like the medicine man on the edge of the village. So people will come, those who are brave enough will come and say, yeah, I want to work with you or whatever, but it's really very few. I don't think people really realize that, you know, what that role is and the importance of that role. Because, you know, if I saw any religion or spirituality or philosophy where I saw a bunch of happy people, I'd be like, wow, let's get all over that. But, you know, the reality is that every system sucks and everything is bad for somebody. And, you know, for those of us that are purporting Tantra and saying, like, oh, Tantra is the answer to everything, just bullshit, man. What does Tantra have to do with, you know, the Chernobyl kids? Like, these little babies that are, you know, that were born in Chernobyl, and, like, how the fuck is sexuality going to help them? And I'm just picking Chernobyl babies. I mean, you know, let's go to the streets of Africa. Let's talk about people who are dealing with basic survival. You're talking about sexual energy and, oh, it would do this and it would do that. I'm like, come on, man. You know, I just feel like Tantra gets us self-absorbed with our dicks. You know, and it's like your dick is not that important. And neither is your vagina. I mean, you know, or as Betty Thompson likes to say, Betty Thompson and I, we really hit it off because she said to me, she was like, Lawrence, what do you call a woman's parts down there? And I said, oh, you mean her cunt? And she was like, yeah, and she high-fived me. I was like, okay. You know, so it's, you know, like, okay, we're on the same page here. You know, it's like we act as if our sex is so important, So not only are we the center of the universe and the Earth is the center of the universe, but your genitals are the center of the universe, and the invisible man monitors them, or the invisible tantric universe monitors them, and you need to be using them this way and not that way. Well, guess what? We're in another bucket to construction.
Yes.
Hilarious, Stephen. I'm glad you told people to fasten their seatbelts.
Yeah.
It's the new year. I'm like, you know what? What the hell? Let's kind of just, I just kind of need to tell it the way it is. And I know people won't like it, but what can you do? I know you like it. You appreciate it.
I appreciate this very much. I think it's very important because, you know, quite frankly, I do not want to see yet another belief system created and perpetrated. I want to see as much freedom as possible. And man, you are it. And I'm, you know, I'm very honored to know you and to, you know, for us to call each other bros, you know, man.
Yeah, we do. We do. We are bros. Yeah. And I, it's really, it is good. And I think someday, you know, I mean, the good thing is like, there may be a time, I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but there may be a time where people are actually, you know, interested in what I'm saying, and what'll be, what's really kind of fun about that is, like, it's all going to be right here in your own radio shows right from the very beginning.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. I mean, it's just, it's very subversive. I love that on Mondo Eros we are talking, you know, just kind of talking harsh reality.
Well, yeah, we are, and I think it's important. I think it needs to be heard, and you know, I'm glad you're the one who's doing it because I trust you because you have I think a right on approach. And I also see that you have a great sense of integrity that you bring to everything that I see you do. You are truly doing this.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, I do. I mean, it's so funny because people go, oh my God, what, you know, if you take away people's mythologies and their stories, you know, they're going to go kill people and stuff. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, empowered, happy people, all I wanted to do, the more free I've gotten it, is just share with people and explain it. I don't need you to believe in anything. I don't need you to believe in me. I don't need you to do any stupid practices. It doesn't matter. Just free your mind. You know, free your consciousness. Free your being. Let yourself experience some peace in your life. And everything else will kind of start to fall into place. And it's not dependent on what you believe or whether or not you believe in me or what I'm saying. It's irrelevant. You know, I don't, that's the beauty of what I'm teaching. I don't need people to believe in me or what I'm saying. Just, you know, try it on. If it works, fine. If it doesn't, spit it out. Who cares? It's irrelevant. If you get the big picture of what I'm saying, it's all bullshit, including me. And that's the beauty. It's like, that's why I trust myself. It's the only reason I trust myself is because I know I'm full of shit. And I don't mean this in some self-deprecating way. It's like, all I'm trying to do is help people understand and, you know, and I don't take myself too seriously. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's fine, you know. It's not that, none of it is that. If you get what I'm saying, it'll click and you'll go like, cool, okay, that was helpful. And, you know, that's it. It's not that big of a deal. At the end of the day, you know, a buddy of mine just died recently, and at the end of the day, we're all going to the same place.
Absolutely. I want to thank my brother, Lawrence Lanoff, for being here tonight and sharing this very important information and also the great fun and the great energy that he brings to us. I invite everyone to go to lawrencelanoff.com and also to acourseinfreedom.com. Lawrence, thank you again. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Stephen. Happy New Year, my bro, and we will talk again.
Absolutely. And Happy New Year to everyone out there. Happy New Year to everyone at bbsradio.com. This is Stephen Otero speaking, and you have been listening to Mondo Eros live on bbsradio.com. Thank you, good evening, and Happy New Year once again.